This is RSPB Update, episode 363, recorded Friday, June 1st, 2012. Getting roasted. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this RSPB Update episode, the 1st of June, 2012. Quite a big week this week, RuneScape, and in tech news as well, but we'll get there eventually. It's just us two usual blokes here with you, y'all, this week.
Oh, yes.
I did something totally bad there, didn't I? I just called us blokes, and I used a Southern U.S. y'all thing.
So?
I just don't think those two pieces of slang are meant to go together.
No one cares, Shane, except for you, but you're one of those OCD type of person. Okay.
All right, so this week is the thing everybody was waiting for. The Queen Black Dragon.
Oh.
You were...
unfortunate enough to have to face her.
Yeah, you decided you were going to put yourself in front of her fire breath and whatever else she throws at you, so I didn't have to, and I could look at the more calm and peaceful Queen Jubilee setting. So, tell us a bit about the boss.
I died a horrible, horrible death.
How many times?
It turns out, died three times so far. The first two times, it was me trying to record the little video that hopefully some of you are watching right now. You'll see how you may notice that it was very laggy, and it's because I found out that using Fraps while recording a RuneScape is pretty bad, unless you have a supercomputer from the year 2015. Or you borrow Shane's, either way. So yeah, it did not go well for me. I lost quite a bit of Sardi Brews, but I made out of those, so I don't care as much. Only thing I really had to buy was the super restores, because I didn't have any. So yeah, about the boss. So basically, there are four phases. First phase, relatively easy. You just hit her until her health drains. What happens also is that after the first phase, you have to really pay attention, which is one thing I was not doing, was pay attention to the artifacts around, because they will change color, and if you don't get them right away, the dragon will spawn level 123 worms, which are completely annoying. Lastly, after that, she'll also start summoning tortured souls, which do two things. One, hit you, and two, heal the queen, so you have to try and kill them right away, but they also have a special ability, which kind of hurts you really bad if you're not paying attention. And that was what was getting me, because recording it at the same time was just not fast enough to click to get out of it. So I lost a lot of stuff doing that, which I'm not very happy about. The second phase is she'll summon one tortured soul to fight you, and after you defeat her, you tag another artifact, which is to the southwest. You tag that artifact, and then she'll phase three. She's a lot weaker to mage, but highly resistant to physical. But most people are doing it are ranging it anyway, so you don't have to worry about it. She'll summon two torture souls instead of one, and more firewalls, which you'll have to run around. And after the third phase, you'll the fourth phase, which I kind of got to on my third try, but got me at the end. She'll summon four tortured souls, and the second they come, you really have to get out of there, or else you're going to get hit really, really hard. And one of the other things you have to also keep looking at is one of them run to a corner and try to say something about, stopping time. You have to kill that one right away, or else you're totally screwed.
Does time stop or something?
Yes, time will physically stop for you. But
I wonder if they're using time runes.
And so, yeah, basically, time will stop for you, but the queen will continue hitting you, and that's what got me at the fourth one. RS lag, I couldn't get to the fourth one enough, and I was like, well, too late.
But, and you know, just for anybody wondering, your gravestone spawns outside near where the cave entrance is in Remington, so it's relatively easy, I imagine, to run back there within the 10 minutes that you have.
Well, to be honest, you can, if you, wherever you are, you can, one, choose, when you die, you can choose to teleport to Falador, which you can just run down there really quick.
Right,
or
Falador
two,
is closest.
Or two, just take the poor Samron lodestone, and you're basically there.
Okay.
So you don't have to, worry, you don't, like, you can, I got back there like 30 seconds. So you don't really have to worry about it. Yeah, so you can have like the cheapest stone, but I think if you're level 120, you would not have the cheapest stone anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless you're Mike. But so far, that's basically it. You just have to keep your wits up about you, and hopefully you have a better computer than I did at the time with RS lag.
So can you fight it with rage the entire time, or do you have to switch combat types?
You don't have to switch, although some people have said that. You know, you may want to switch to melee for the torture souls, but I don't really think you have to. I killed them just fine with my range as it was. It was just that the lagginess of RS at the time was getting to me. I spent more time trying to keep myself alive than actually fighting the torture soul.
Right. So what kind of equipment did you use?
I used the Armadale set. My full Armadale set, but you can use full barrels, I believe. That works just as well, but I think if you die, it comes 0%, so that may hurt you.
Yeah, that's true. What about weaponry?
Weaponry, I was using a Rune crossbow because that was the only crossbow I have. I don't have the chaotic crossbow yet.
And you were inflicting decent damage with ruby bolts, I assume?
Yeah, I was doing decent.
Okay. Well, that's good to know that regular run-of-the-mill combat gear will get you through it, at least. I mean, of course, if you have higher combat gear, you could probably have an easier time at it, but in any case.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing as well is, you know, check out some of the videos on YouTube that's not related to this video here. If you're watching the video right now, I'm probably dead in about 2 minutes or so. How long have we been here? 5 minutes already?
Yeah, around there.
Yeah, so about 3 more minutes, I'm going to die a horrible, horrible death when I was trying to record.
That is if the video is fluid enough, because you said it was laggy. And I haven't been able to view it yet because I haven't converted it from Windows Media, because remember, this is OS X.
Sorry. Forgot about that. But, yeah. You can kill it. It's just a little bit of practice, and I'm sure anybody can do it if they spend some time in it. Although I might suggest that maybe if you're practicing it, try using rock tails, which are not as pricey, and at least you'll get the idea of it.
What were you using?
Stardew Brew.
Stardew
Brew Super Restore. Don't you remember?
Right.
So I think if you decide to use Rock Tails, it may be better because it's not as expensive with the Stardew Brew and Super Restore, and it's less time consuming. And
It says, think you can survive the Groatwood swarms and or Groatworm swarms and fire waves. So what kind of fire waves is this? Is there like some kind of fire wave aside from the fire that comes from the dragon?
That is the fire that comes from the dragon.
Oh, okay.
During the video, you will see that once in a while the queen will spit out a wall of fire. Basically, firewall, and there's only one gap which you have to get to not get any damage.
Okay, so kind of like that fire quest.
Fire. Mm-hmm. Kind of like what's it called? I'll fire it up. There we go.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, but you know, although it's not difficult, it's just one of those if you practice enough, you can do it.
Yeah, that's the impression I'm getting from this, and you know, it is soloable, so it can't be that hard. And I wouldn't want to displace somebody like Jad or whatever the guy's name is in the fight kill, and I forget, as a top boss. So
I remember, but you get the dragon kite shield, which I don't know how much it's worth right now, but
you know,
I'm a little disappointed in it.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing, because Dragon Kite Shield, it is on par with the other dragon items, but, like, there's no point in this day and age to be using a dragon-based piece of equipment, because, well, quite frankly, there are better things to use than that. The only reason you'd use a Dragon Kite Shield is if you want a full dragon set. And it's not even as expensive as I thought it would be. It's only 886k today.
Well, I've had people who said that. I've had people who said they've sold it for, like, you know, close to 2 mil or so, or
well,
higher.
Well, yeah, that's probably just
a first day type of thing.
Yeah, someone random. But this exchange price is what the majority of the items are going to be selling for.
Mm-hmm. My one thing that I'm disappointed in it is not that, you know, the stats are low. It's the fact that it doesn't treat itself as a anti-dragon dragon shield. And, you know, you spent all this time killing the Queen Black Dragon, which is the most powerful mod dragon and monster in the game. When
combat level 2100.
Yeah. And so it's like, well, shouldn't the Dragon Kite Shield be able to resist dragon fire? I mean, you know, why don't we start for those who are using the anti-fire dragon shield thingy? I can't remember the full name of it right now.
Just the dragon fire shield. And
yeah.
No, I'm going to disagree with you and say that no, it shouldn't, because it's just like any other piece of metal armor. It's not designed to be multi-use like that. It's just designed to be an expansion to the dragon set, which we're seeing, even though it's 10 years after the dragon item started first coming out. The set is now practically complete. We're just missing some random weapons that nobody uses, like Warhammer, throwing axes, what else? I don't know, but useless things. So I think for all intents and purposes, the dragon equipment set is complete.
I still think it should have a, you know, the ability to resist dragon fire. I mean, it's from the belly of the beast.
Yeah, I guess with that idea in mind, but I mean, it doesn't make sense that it would. Maybe through an add-on or something it might, but that might have been something worth adding as a drop to the Queen Black Dragon, because I don't think it drops anything else useful aside from the Royal Dragon Hides, which lets you create Royal Dragon Armor.
Mm-hmm. So far, I think those are selling pretty well.
Yeah, but they're going to be down eventually. For instance, like the body, 27k on the exchange, so requires 80 ranged and 93 crafting, so it's going to be the next step up from, of course, Black Dragonhide. I'm not sure how this compares with, say, the Carl's Top, because we haven't added that yet to the equipment calculator, but let me just have a look here and see what the Carl's bonuses are, because it would be interesting to see if they decided that it's time to displace the Carl's Barrows item with this thing.
Mm-hmm. The next step up.
Because we didn't see this coming when this happened. So the Carl Leather Top has a ranged attack bonus of plus 30. This has plus 32. Its defense bonuses, Carl's, are 47, 42, 50, 65, and 57, whereas the Royal Dragonhide body is 56, 48, 61, 57, 66, and 65. So this is indeed better than Carl's now, and it does not degrade.
So Carl's gonna drop down like a rock.
Yeah, and that was always one of the cheapest Barrow sets too. So, because nobody wants it for the set effect. They just wanted a set of decent armor.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing really on this set that would make you use Carl's over Royal Dragonhide now.
Mm.
Well, that was nice. It was nice to use Carl's armor while it was useful. See you later, Carl.
Wee, bye, Carl. Yeah, okay. Barrows has been going down recently. Nobody really uses them anymore.
Yeah, because there's so much other better stuff out there. So, anyways, is there anything else we need to mention with the Queen Black Dragon here?
It's huge.
Biggest NPC ever?
Apparently it should be, because you're only seeing the top part of its head.
Okay.
I mean,
that's
you know, if you remember during the quest, you only saw the head, so imagine what it would be like if you saw the whole body. It probably wrapped around Varrock at least twice. And remember, you were in the belly of the beast.
And also remember that if you have done too. Song from the Depths, the last week's quest, you do get a damage reduction when you're fighting the QBD. So it is good to do that. And did you try the coral crossbow?
No, I did not have enough armor to try, and I don't think it would have done much of a difference between that between this one and Ruby bolts. Primarily because, you know, mine's supposed to be like, you know, the lowest level, and you're supposed to keep killing it to get to upgrade it. So I don't see it being powerful enough anyway.
But yeah, you can get little pieces from the QBD to upgrade it. Like, for instance, a torsion spring, a sight, and a bolt stabilizer. And then you'll end up upgrading it, and the crossbow will, at the end of the day, end up having a ranged attack bonus of 135.
Woohoo!
And if we look at other weapons,
I think the chaotic crossbow is better than that one, I believe.
Yeah, the chaotic, or no, never mind. Magic longbow sighted, but of course, who's going to use a magic longbow because they're just so slow? Chaotic crossbow is a 120 range attack bonus.
Mm-hmm.
So, better than the chaotic crossbow too.
Sadly, it's one of those we have to kill it probably, you know, 100-150 times to get it.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, you'll get it, because if you're the type of person who goes to do the NPCs and whatnot, this is something you'll be doing multiple times a day, and I don't see it taking that long to get, probably.
Yeah, but, you know, most of those people already have a couple billion gold anyway, and they just don't care about the money.
Yeah, so
but it's nice to get them to lose some of their cash, even though it's only for a fleeting second.
Yeah, and it's not going to take that long. And you can buy the pieces to upgrade the crossbow on the exchange. So they'll drop eventually, too.
Sorry.
So even if you wanted this crossbow, there'd be no reason why you'd have to fight the QBD to do it, unless you didn't want to. So, anyways, that's that part of the update. Next up is the Diamond Jubilee, the celebrations, the part that I went to cover, because for anybody who is not aware, June 2nd, tomorrow, is what is officially called the Diamond Jubilee of Queen Elizabeth II. So it just means she's been on the throne for 60 years, so since 1952. And, you know, since Jagex is a UK company, they are covering this because they want to celebrate their heritage, which is a perfectly good thing to do. And as a matter of fact, websites, I think it was The Guardian in the UK, had a write-up on this update in RuneScape, basically saying that Jagex is doing this to celebrate the Diamond Jubilee, and they were telling the readers all about it. So Jagex made The Guardian.
Mm.
But in any case, what you end up having to do here is, well, there's a few little tasks. First things first, the Varrock is set up differently. There's no more fountain in the center that just mysteriously disappeared overnight. Kind of interesting how that can happen. But in any case, there you can buy all sorts of things like celebration cakes, hats, flags, confetti, fireworks, firecrackers, fish and chips.
Fish and chips.
Yeah, a full breakfast. Basically, anything that says UK on it, that is what they do in the UK, you can buy there. So fish and chips, of course, as everyone knows, tea. So it's basically just a UK heritage celebration there. There's a little task that you can do that involves you picking up a pet corgi, because the corgi is the favorite dog of the Queen. So six of them have disappeared throughout the world, and you need to go fetch them. And then once you bring them all back, you will get a pet corgi to keep, and it just follows you around like any other pet does.
I want... I wonder if I can get it to fight like my Hellcat.
No.
Why not? I can, you know, get some red paint.
It's a dog.
So? I can get a doggy
the
treadmill for it.
The dogs in RuneScape don't fight.
Yes, you can only shoo them away. I can get a little, you know, doggy treadmill for it, train it out to be a vicious fighter.
I don't think you could do that with a corgi.
You hit it long enough, you will.
That would
you
be
must,
animal abuse.
You must make it angry.
That would be animal abuse.
Technically, it would be pixel abuse, Shane, not animal abuse.
Well, the person you talk to is named Mini Coop, so it's kind of funny because, you know, there's a car called the Mini Cooper, and this person's name is Mini Coop. So, I mean, Jagex always throws little puns in like this everywhere you go. I don't know if it serves any relevance, but it's definitely interesting to see where these all come from.
Okay.
And then, of course, we got the Cryptic Clue Fest, which started today, the 1st of June. So, of course, over the next week or so, you'll be getting these clues, and you can go get a second Jubilee-themed reward from this. So just take a walk through Varrock, enjoy the celebration to the Queen, and learn how it's done in the UK and other Commonwealth countries.
So how long is this event for?
I'm assuming it's going to be in through next week because the Cryptic Clue Fest is still going to be going on when the game is updated next week. So I assume it's going to be here till the week of the 11th.
Okay.
Yeah, that's just what I think.
Let me check. Maybe this one.
Yeah, so I don't have anything else to say about the Jubilee event, but definitely go check it out. And if you're around on Saturday morning or this weekend, just tune in to CNN. They've got Jubilee coverage live from the UK.
Oh, cool. Okay. And you mentioned, did you mention about the Mad Necklace?
The Mad Necklace?
Yeah. I guess it was released yesterday because it's 21 hours ago.
Oh, right. We're going to get there, I think.
Oh, right. Sorry, I missed a note.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Okay, I'm ahead of myself. Okay, sorry, Shane. That's okay.
Tweaks and fixes now. As I said, the gravestone, if you're in that dungeon, will spot you outside. So that's good, I guess, if you've died 3 or 4 times at the QBD so far.
Thank you, Shane.
Also, they released some music tracks from the Queen Black Dragon area. I'll just play a short selection here for you guys. Did you turn music on when you were in the fight?
I had it on. I had everything on semi-low because I didn't want to blow out my eardrums. But to be honest, I was too focused on the fight to really listen to it.
Okay. I mean, this song is it's just entitled Queen Black Dragon. And I think it sets the tone for what the Queen Black Dragon is quite well. And it's kind of like a battle song that you use if you're in a fight or something, you know? So, definitely good that they're keeping on this direction in the high quality music. So you can download this on the downloads page on their website.
Whee! So,
release notes. Anything in the release notes that you want to mention?
Well, let's see. Bone Crusher now functions correctly with Grot Worms. That's good. Let's see. Trade Checker no longer allows free-to-play players to trade freely if they try to trade over 2.1 billion worth of items. That's interesting. Just those two, really, because I think those are the semi-two biggest one.
That's interesting that there was a trade tracker issue that let you trade more than 2.1 billion worth of items when that's been a self-imposed limit for however long, you know?
Yeah, no, they never thought anybody would ever reach that limit, and they were dead wrong.
And it's broken on free-to-play when I think free-to-plays are the least likely to reach that limit.
Oh, you never know. Trading runes can get you quite a lot of money, depending on how you sell it.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. With this, if you have anything else that you're interested in finding out about this, you could, of course, read this on the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. So next up is the right royal costumes on the Squeal of Fortune. So running throughout the 7 months, two impressive new clothing sets will be obtainable as unique prizes on the Squeal of Fortune. There are 5 pieces of clothing for each of the 2 must-have sets, so you'll be feeling need to be lucky in order to bag all 10. Don't forget, the more spins you have at your disposal, the better chance you have of snagging all the items and getting all this something you'll certainly want to do. The first outfit is the Queen's Guard uniform. This is on an uncommon spot on the wheel. So this one's not going to be that hard to get, because uncommon is relatively common, at least a few times a week for me.
Yeah, I've been getting lamps the whole week.
Yeah, me too, actually. Yesterday, I got 2 medium lamps and a small lamp.
You know, like, you remember when this first came out and I told you that, you know, you can press the button at a certain point and I can almost guarantee you it will end within those 3 spaces?
I don't think so.
It does for me. Because, I still time it. I still like, all right, I'll aim for the silver lamp here because, you know, there's like 2 other lamps in the area. All right, let's see. Stop here. I count from that spot, count 9 to the left. And, you know, go backwards. And I guarantee if you press a button when the selection screen is just about there, within those 3 spots, you will get an item within those 3. And I have not yet failed. A couple times because I misclicked, but I have not yet failed.
Okay, I don't believe that, but whatever you say.
Yeah, still works for me.
So the second outfit is dragon ceremonial clothes made in honor of the Queen Black Dragon. This includes the dragon ceremonial hat, breastplate, greaves, boots, and cape. And these will be on rare slots. Now, I'm wondering what happens with this if at the end of the summer you end up getting only part of each outfit. Like, it doesn't make sense that you're not going to be able to get the full outfit, because for me, there's no point in having an outfit if you don't have the full set. For 2 reasons, because first reason, sometimes you might want to wear the full set, and secondly, to store it in a player-owned house, you need to have the full set. So, I mean, it just doesn't make sense that you're only getting this in, you have to get them piece by piece. And what's to say I'll end up getting the entire set over the summer? I mean, it would just be nice if they came as sets on the thing and made them both as rare. Or even rare and super rare, whatever, I guess it would be. Because it just doesn't sit well with me that it's half a set that you could end up getting.
I have no interest in it, so doesn't matter to me.
Okay. Well, I'd be interested in getting the Queen's Guard uniform, which I guess is a good thing because it's the easier one to get.
But, they can always sell the clothes on their own site in the future. Sell it
for, they could do that.
$3, $5. I would not put it past them to do it in the future. You never know.
And, you know, that might be a better way of doing it, because at the end of the day, do you want people to... Well, I mean, it makes no sense. I mean, it makes sense that you want people to be putting money on Squeal of Fortune, because it's like just a way of earning money through some kind of quick form of little gambling. So, I mean, and there's a rush that comes with that. So that's why they want to do it on Squeal of Fortune rather than just put it up. But it would be nice if they had it up on their website, too. But more Squeal of Fortune news. They re-upped the prizes this week. I think this is a good change. What about you?
Oh, I managed to get 10K this week instead of, 150 gold. Like, okay. Yeah. Not bad, but, could be better.
Yeah, that's true. 10 times the chance to win super rare cosmetic items. More coin prizes added that appear frequently, including 5,000, 50,000, and 500,000 GP prizes. Coin prizes substantially increased in value. For example, the 50 GP prize is now 1,000 GP. More useful items and increased quantity. So, for instance, this week I got some tanned green dragonhide leather. So it makes it it's just stuff that you might want to use around your game more than, say, useless stuff like a cabbage or something, you know? I also got 20 oak planks.
Yeah, it's not too bad. That's 2 oak doors.
Yeah. And this is what I mentioned. Construction and fletching supplies. Crafting and smithing materials. More gems from sapphire to diamond. Combat consumables such as arrows and runes and much more. And they say, we'd like to reassure players that we have thought very carefully about which items to add and remove and increase the likelihood of. We made these changes with a full set of statistics and a healthy wedge of player behavior data to add. Well, of course they have player behavior data now. This Squeal of Fortune's been out for almost 3 months now.
Let's see.
Overall, I think it's a good thing. Let's start out behind the scenes June now, since it is June, and it looks like it's going to be a very light month. What do you think?
I don't know. We got the combat beta thing. We have the whole signing up within the next 2 weeks.
I know, that's why I'm saying it looks like it's going to be a light month, because the only thing mentioned in the behind the scenes June article is Fish Flingers improvements, the Crucible, and of course combat betas. So Fish Flingers, as we all know, is that distraction and diversion that came out. When did that come out? Was that last year or was that 2010?
I think it was last year.
I never went back after the first week or so it was out. What about you?
Really? Pretty much the same thing, because I already had 99 fishing. I had no reason to really stay at the fishing guild. I think they should do it in Rocktail place, but I don't think that's happening anytime soon.
Yeah, probably not. So the first thing they say is the rework will dramatically increase the accessibility so that it's easier to get to Fish Flingers games between bouts of normal fishing. Not only will the start points be permanent additions to the map, but will add more than popular fishing areas through the game. Competitions will be held far more frequent, running every 20 minutes, and you'll be able to claim 2 tickets per day rather than just 10 per week. So that's 14 per week rather than 10 per week. So it's a little bit more, but not that much. Big fish feature to the game. Players will have to cooperate with each other to land these big whoppers, but the XP rewards will make the extra effort worthwhile for all. And they say, so get involved and don't be coy. Because you know what coy is, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
A koi is a fish. That's a great one, don't you think?
Okay.
Then they say you don't want to be the con one out.
Bad pun, Shane.
Well, you know, I just think it's good to be talking about these things, because the koi one out, okay, I get that, but cod one out. What's the first thing you think of when you hear cod?
Cod, Cape Cod?
No, Call of Duty.
Ah, right. I have not played those games in years, kind of, since they kind of screwed us up with number 2.
So, don't be coy, or else you'll be the COD one out.
Lame.
I love that. We'll also completely overhaul the nature and the potential rewards. Fishing XP will be tweaked to reward fishers who find the best tackle combinations available. You'll also be able to earn a brand new set of fishing gear similar to the lumberjack outfit and the golden mining gear. How do you feel about that?
Well, unless you're going to put it in a rocktail place, I'm not going to be fishing sharks in the fishing guild, and I probably won't remember to go there.
You'll probably be able
there
to use this worldwide.
Yeah, but I probably won't remember to, oh yeah, I need to go over to the fishing place and in order to, you know, remember to do fish flingers. I'm not going to remember it.
But they said it's going to be a piece of equipment. they aware.
No, but to get to Fish Flingers, you have to, you know, win and
oh,
do
something. Well, hopefully they'll have a portal or whatever in the Rocktail area. Because that's just good to be like that. Mm. Next up, the Crucible. The Return of Bounty Hunter. What you giggling about?
Oh, it's just reminding me of Mass Effect.
Okay. So they say back in 2011, remove the bounty mechanic from any of it. It was a style of PK you preferred to the traditional wilderness, and we promised we'd bring it back. Well, it's back, and this time better than ever. So the Crucible is a giant arena. Players over combat level 60 can do battle with like-minded opponents. You'll be assigned another player, so it's essentially the same as it was before. The entire area is based around solo play, so no multi-way combat. And combat can only be engaged between targets. So no rushing or PJA. That's good, I think. It's more like a civilized form of PKing then, I guess. I might be interested in trying that. Even though I'm not much of a PKer in this game.
And you know what you should do, Shane? Just grab a dagger and then run into it with an inventory full of wheat.
Full of wheat?
Yep, full of wheat.
I see. I don't think that would do good, but...
I did that before as a joke to someone else.
Oh, okay. Oh, and then you just dropped nothing but wheat.
Mm-hmm. A while back, one of my friends was PKing with his little group, and so I decided to kind of, quote-unquote, crash it. So I went up there with a small sword, and I said, I'm going to kill you all! And then they killed me. I was like, you hackers! And I gave them a full inventory full of wheat.
Oh, that's funny.
I bet they did not expect that at all.
Yeah. So if you have a high ranking within a Crucible game, you'll have the chance to be temporarily elevated to Supreme Champion. You'll be rendered invincible for a whole minute. You'll be given access to a raft of brand new weapons that can only be used within the Crucible, so you can go mad. Crazy rampage where you go on a mad crazy rampage where you can slaughter everyone in your way. We're also relying on a special combat calculation to assign targets. This means your targets will be of an ability level that is equal or similar to your own, so skill and knowledge will rule the land.
Okay.
That's good, I guess. And of course, a new high score table with this, so definitely something to keep an eye out on. Sounds good. Then, of course, the combat beta. So let's just change tracks and head on over to the combat beta. We'll come back to the Mad May results in just a minute. So combat beta, sign-up's now open. Did you sign up?
Yeah, I did. Okay, I think everybody who's been there for over a year or so, you just have to go on there and you're automatically in.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a good thing. Get as many people as you can trying it, all kinds of permutations and combinations, because you can only test so much in a limited test environment, as we saw in this video here that they have posted of showing the first videos of what the new combat system's going to look like. Mm-hmm. I never played WoW, but apparently some of this stuff looks kind of WoW-ish. What do you think? You've played other MMOs.
Well, usually one of these other games I used to play was Guild Wars 1, and there are some, and you know, going to Guild Wars 2, there are some things that, you know, that's basically all the same with all MMOs. You have an AoE attack, and you have some way of stunning the enemy, and they did mention that you get to bleed people. So the way I saw it was like, alright, for melee, what happened, if you look at the video, he did a charge ability, which is, you know, lots of other games have it. Click a little charge to get in front of the enemy because you need to get within melee range in the first place, and you have a bunch of attacks. You have stab, head crushing, and slashing, and everything else. With range, I felt it was more like a rogue because you can kind of teleport away from the enemy, away from, you know, being in melee range. And you can also use a bunch of, again, AoE spells with, you know, like raining fire and pin down and, you know, take arrow to the knee. thirdly, you know, the mage, the one that I thought was interesting was you get to change what element you are, which I don't know how that affects the game, but it'll be interesting.
Change which element you are?
Remember, you know, the major in the video, he changing to a fire, you know, fire goddess type of thing.
Oh, right. Okay.
So I'm assuming depending on which one you have will give you special powers. I think what happened with the fire one is that he let you run faster, because I kind of noticed that he ran a little bit faster when he was in fire mode. Water, I'm thinking he may be immune to conditions for a little bit. Earth, if you're earth, I'm thinking, you know, higher defense bonus. I don't know about air. Air's iffy.
But, air might not have anything special since it's the most basic form of energy, you know, and it might just be a way to move around freely.
I think it may be help to guarantee missing or something from the enemy. But that's an assumption, you know, be light on your feet type of thing. But
yeah, so if you've been in the beta, or if you've been a member for a year consecutively, you can sign up at runescape.com/combat or click the combat beta contract in your inventory.
Hmm.
Apparently, when this came out, they were having some major issues with the website because so many people were trying to sign up for the beta.
Mm-hmm.
Which is to be expected.
Mm-hmm.
On the same track of combat here, they've got the a little dev blog here on this from Mod Mark, who calls himself Og. So this is the Og blog. So for instance, there's a number of things they say that they challenges they've set themselves over to come, and in later blogs they'll be telling how they've met them. So for instance, I'm just going to run through these. You stop me if there's one you think we should discuss. Refocus combat to be more about player skill. Encourage variety in combat equipment. Make it fun. Make it easier to access. Give rangers and mages a fighting chance. And this is the biggest thing in my view. They say the combat triangle can be less of a triangle and more of a pancake, flat and a little out of shape. I'm glad they're finally admitting this, given that it's been however many years since the combat triangle has actually been a triangle.
It's never been a triangle. I've died to rangers many times on my melee, and I'm wearing some of the best gear in the game.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said. So that's good. They'll be filling that in. Filling gaps in existing equipment tier. So, for instance, they say magic armor is rare and generally caters for a small level bracket, while melee and ranger sets are missing gloves and boots. Encouraging challenging fights. So they want the most challenging and rewarding fun creatures to be the most efficient creatures to fight. At the moment, it could seem more efficient to train on creatures that deal little damage and go down without a fight. So I mean, this is another thing that people always do. People would always grind combat even back in the early days of RS2. So, good they're addressing this. This is another good one. Fix the relationship between defense, life points, and damage output. Your ability to heal damage through food or similar mechanics should be comparable to how much damage you receive. That's not quite true at the moment, and we'd like to address that.
So more damage you take, the less food will heal you?
I don't know whether it's that or the other way around.
Huh. Well, one thing you finish up first and then I'll say what I think about it.
No, because mine's on the next point, so you can just say what you were going to say on this one.
Well, it's not related to this one. It's kind of like the combat system in general. They want to be more about skill. That doesn't really happen when you have a lot of teenagers running around. And most are not even, you know, I guarantee you this has never ever failed in any of the MMOs I play. You'll try and get a group of people to do a mission or a quest, and there will always, always be that one person who's completely clueless to what the hell they're doing.
Are you referring to the other night on STFs?
No. Well, that too, but you know, all MMOs in general. You know, even when I was in Guild Wars and I was, you know, pugging a small group, there was always that one person who's just like completely stupid on what they're doing. Never fails. So now they talk about trying to get skill. Your demographic are, you know, pretty much from pre-teens all the way to, you know, majority is in their 20s. Because you have people in their 20s used to play.
I think they're going to have some issue with this point, allow player combat level to truly represent their ability. Meaning, I think some people are going to be upset that their peers who are less than 100 combat are not going to be as successful as the higher level ones. Because that's exactly what I read into this point here. The combat level calculator is complicated and encourages players to not train certain skills in an attempt to create a false impression of their damage potential. Peers in brackets. So I think we're going to see a huge backlash on that probably. But based on the fact that this is such a big system like this, I don't think we're going to be seeing much caving in towards that, which is ultimately a good thing because Jagex needs to make decisions on their own in this case.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, one other thing that I'm a little bit worried about is the whole you want to get players more interacted into the game. I think that's a good and bad. Here's why I think it's bad. It's one thing about RS Combat is, you know, it's simplicity. You know, you basically click on something, you hit it, and then you're doing something else as you're waiting for the fight to finish. And most of the time, Shane, things people train on that's relatively low and fast to kill and easy to kill, and you're not really worried about, focusing on in the game itself. So like, this may actually hurt some of the multitaskable objective of the game, in my view. The other side is, well, if they made it so you have to respond to the enemy, then it would completely hurt bots a lot. Because
respond
they're probably
to the enemy?
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking like, remember you saw in how during the video you had different attack styles. Well, I'm assuming that if you're fighting so-and-so monster and they, you know, put up a shield up, maybe you won't keep slashing at it. You'll start
right,
crushing
you
it.
Choose a different style. Right, I
see. Or use a specific attack or ability to weaken it or get rid of it or, you know, whatever it is. I don't see bots, not yet, being smart enough to really do that. You know, if they were to program it in, I think it'll take them forever, but I learned never underestimate the ability of people to try and find ways around stuff.
Yeah.
But okay. That's my two cents on it. I think it may hurt some of the AFK training ability, but it may also get rid of a lot of bots.
Yeah, that's true. That'll be interesting to see. Another thing to say is simplify the code and balancing. We want to add more high-level equipment to the game, but the existing system can make this extremely difficult. Okay, so that's decent, I guess. And be brave, but be traditional where possible. We are a game with a proud heritage and a player base with clear expectations of the game they want to play. We do not want to make a game that we can't even recognize anymore, which is, of course, true because combat is such a huge portion of this game.
Mm-hmm. Everything here is pretty much combat related one way or another. Sheeny poo.
Yep.
Okay.
I just thought I needed to have a sneeze or something, but I didn't. But anyways.
Bring
on Mad May Rewards and the Cryptic Clue Fest. So as we mentioned, the Cryptic Clue Fest is now underway. Go wild. Get whatever the reward's gonna be this time. As promised in our original Mad May news post, players who kept their membership subscription active through the month of May will soon find they have two exclusive rewards waiting for them. First off, there's the Mad Necklace. Whenever equipped, the Mad Necklace will double any XP you earn and any skills you choose to train up to a total of 250,000 bonus XP. So this means that if you do 250,000 summoning XP, you will get 500,000 XP for the work. I should have waited to train summoning.
Woohoo!
So that effectively means that I think you might have enough charms for 88.
Woohoo! That's going to take me forever still.
But it'll also work in Dungeoneering, so if you want to use it in Dungeoneering, you can do that. And you can go collect this from Diango's stall in Drainer Village.
What do you make in Drainer Village? Something.
I don't know. I don't like that place anymore. They made it too dark. It's like it's always nighttime.
Oh, you are more or less in the middle of a forest.
Yeah, I guess, but still. Secondly, players, the same eligible players will find that they have an extra 5,000 loyalty points.
Me. That's not
much.
That's
good. Well, I don't know what I'm going to buy with mine. I have all these points stacking up. I might have enough for the next version of Reverence Aura. That's the main one I've been upgrading. So maybe I'll buy that. I don't know. And they say, please note the eligible players is the list of eligible players is still being processed and should be completed within the next few hours. So hopefully by the time you're hearing this on Saturday, everything will be all in order. That means we're done for RS updates.
No idea who that is. Stupid.
Throw it away.
Actually, I'm betting it's political people telling me to vote on this and that again.
Well, make sure you do what you need to do.
Okay,
all right, you
so what's
the first
this?
Question?
First question. Yes, I see why you picked this for me. All right. Question from Ring, dear host. Do you think the fact that Sony and Microsoft are moving to console-based DRM is anti-competitive? Do you think it will be effective in stopping people from sharing and selling games? I think it will successfully put GameStop out of business, but I think it will have no effect on users with no regard for anti-circumvention laws. Personally, I think this will only accomplish angering users and justifying their violation of copyright laws. Do you think this will happen? Do you think they will follow through? Would you justify making un-DRM copies for your personal use / backups? Love Ring. Okay, Shane, you take a stab at it first.
Well, I've never had to back up a game disc because I had it break or something like that, so I really don't see what much of the issue is here. And I'm going to make a rather bold prediction and say that the next Xbox is not going to have an optical drive, and everything on the next Xbox will be download-based from some kind of cloud, kind of like Steam is on the PC. That's my guess for the next Xbox.
So what do you think of the whole DRM with Sony and Microsoft?
I don't see what the issue is because these two consoles can't intermingle. So I don't like. Is it some kind of DRM that's that the two are working with together so that you can't use the games, of course, from a PS3 and an Xbox 360. So that can't be it. But I'm guessing it's the kind of DRM that would just prevent you from not sharing the game,
or you know, giving to your friend to play it for a weekend or something like that.
I don't know. I mean, I don't see that happening because the games have always been shareable ways since the first Nintendo and even before Nintendo consoles came out, you know?
But even now, though, many games have one of those, hey, you did not register your Xbox game, you cannot play so-and-so. And that's what actually been hurting GameStop because they were forced to deal with all these, go-arounds to have get through the company because they want a little extra cash.
Yeah, well, that's another issue entirely when you have to have a separate account from your Xbox Live account to play a game because I don't think you should be able to do that because that's the idea of a console. It's just to be a dumb box that you can plug something into and play a game. So I don't think that this will be happening, and circumvention, I don't think it'll be, if it were to happen, I don't think it will be circumvented for two reasons. First one being that both the two big console vendors have online services, and if you have a modified Xbox 360 or your PS3 in any way, and they do find out that you've been doing this, you are kicked off the network to play it. So I think people will just be honest and play the way they've always been playing because, let's face it, most people playing on Xbox do own the games that they're playing.
Not all.
Well, not all of them, but I mean, they're not like, not everyone's renting a game from their friend for the weekend.
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see much happening in this area. If anything, I think they'll just go to the cloud, which is really a good thing in my view.
Really? So you want to hurt the retailers?
Well, I mean, they're going to have to adapt because when was the last time you bought a physical computer game in a box that was shrink-wrapped?
Not
on Steam.
About 2 months ago when Fry's was having a sale on Assassin's Creed 3.
Oh, okay. Well, you're a bad example,
Shane,
then.
You remember I actually like physical copies. I don't really like the digital copy junk. I like to actually have the box in the box and put it up on my wall and show people, hey, I bought that game.
The last game that I bought in a box was StarCraft II. But that's only because I wanted to pre-order it. Mm-hmm. Anyways, next one is from Marumska. Dear Shade and Temple, Trekkie. Year of the Dragon 2012, Queen Black Dragon, which looks like an Eastern Dragon with eight eyes, plus the Queen is coming to town. Do you think Dragus is onto something, or do things just happen at the right time? Also, OMG, what is with the maggots in the QBD's tummy? What has she been eating? I don't think there's anything to say that this is to do with the Year of the Dragon. I think it's just all to do with the Golden Jubilee, or the Diamond Jubilee, I mean.
To be honest, I went back and took some pictures of dragons in Chinese and Japanese culture. There was one statue that kind of looked like the Queen Black Dragon, but I think it was more of a coincidence. I'm assuming Dragus said, all right, let's just take a dragon, make it look badass, and all right, well, here it is.
Yeah, I mean, you Google for dragon, and I imagine most of what you see will be based on the Chinese lore of the dragons, because doesn't the dragon have some kind of lore in the Chinese culture or something?
Yeah, it's one who chases a little power of light, and that's why you have a Chinese New Year thing. There's also, you know, dragon of, if you follow one of the old stories of Chinese mythology, there's the one where a Buddhist monk has to travel to India because China has lost their history of Buddha, so he has to travel back to India, and along the way he's, you know, stopped all the time by mythical creatures trying to prevent him from finishing his mission, and there are some dragons in the story. One of the most famous one was a daughter who was disowned by his father because she refused to marry some evil serpent of the lake. And, you know, for taking the monk of helping her, she transformed into a horse so that she does not have to walk all the way to India.
Interesting.
So the series is called Journey to the East, and it's actually really big in China. They used to make a lot of a TV series on it. I used to love watching one of them as a kid, but the newer ones are just more about Hollywood and not about the story.
All right, and what about the maggots?
Well, it hasn't exactly been eating. It's been sleeping all this time. They probably crawled in trying to find some food.
Yeah, and then wake up from its sleep, and it's just getting along for the ride.
And now her tummy is itchy, so she's trying to cough them out.
And lots of other stuff comes out with that too, including fire, I imagine.
Oh, and tortured souls.
Yes.
Tormented.
Marumska also says, this week I hurt my knee by falling into a hole about 2 meters deep and not by an arrow, fortunately. So, dear host, have you hurt yourself in a comical way like I did before?
Well, Shane, you go first. What have been some dumb things that you've done in your past that got you hurt?
Nothing really that got me hurt as bad as falling into a 2 meter deep hole. I know there's been a couple of times where I just wasn't walking right, and I twisted my ankle and I just went down because of that. That's probably about the worst I've done to myself, just with my own devices, not some other kind of device. So, nothing that bad. But the worst way I ever hurt myself was a little bike accident where I was riding along and my mom was running beside. This was like 10 years ago now, probably, or 12 years ago, maybe. I don't know, a long time ago. My handle snagged her pant pocket in it, and it pulled both of us down, and my ankle got sprained pretty badly.
Ouch.
Yeah. What about you?
I'm sure I have. I just can't think of any right off of my head. I think one. Let's see. I remember one time. So this was like long time ago. I was playing a bunch, playing outside with a couple of my other friends, and I was walking on top of these cement blocks, you know, ones with the little holes in it. And I was walking on it, and one of my foot went into it, and I fell down, and I kind of popped my knee out. Well, I didn't pop the whole thing out, it popped a little bit. Pulled it back out and hurt it, but I didn't think anything of it, so I just went easy on the rest of the day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else with that one?
Nope. What's the last part?
Also, how should one attack quote-unquote Bible skills like herb lore, construction, and prayer, since I don't have too much GP to spend on these things? Thank you all, and friendship is magical. Cheers, Marumska. Well, my favorite way of doing this is just through fundraising, through various things. For instance, right now, my main source of income is potion flasks on RS. I also liked herb farming back in the day. I'm not sure what that market's doing right now, but it's definitely something to look at. So I prefer to make my money through skilling, and that's the way I've made all the money that I've practically ever made, aside from a few lucky clue scrolls here and there. But I'm not much for one doing boss fighting to make money. So my advice is just to use other skills to make money, and eventually you will find you have an abundance of money that you don't know what to do with. Like right now I have 25 mil and I'm not sure what to do with it. Do you have any input?
Any input? Grow it on your own and make it more, even more rewarding.
Do what?
Make them your own and make it even more rewarding. Don't buy them. Grow your own herbs.
Yeah.
Cut your own oak. And you'll hate me for it, but I guarantee you, you'll like some of it. Then you'll quit and buy the thing anyway.
Yeah, that's another thing to do. You could do everything from the bottom up and just do that. I think more people need to do that in RuneScape. And I think the next skill, I'm going to do whatever that will be the way I do it. So, sure. Why not? Thank you, Maromska. And as always, if anybody has any feedback on one of the questions we answered, just head on over to the forums at rsbnb.com/forums and find the update discussion topic and post your response to our answer to your question. Or if anybody else has a different answer that they think might work, just feel free to post it there too. So, next one.
Alrighty, let's see. Question from Duke Juker, from your favorite person, apparently. RS question, which house portal location do you use as a member? I'm finding that some locations can be really handy depending on what I'm working at the time. Is it just personal preference or do you change them often? So let's answer this one first. Yano?
Yeah, my house is at Yanil, but after the last Wise Old Man quest where you can modify teleport tablets, it really doesn't matter. So that's the answer to that one. What was the name of that quest even?
Which one?
The last quest with the wise old man and his girlfriend.
Can't remember.
It was like back in 2010, I think. So, yeah, but I use Yanil. Which one do you use?
The same one. Because, if you put all the portals in it, you get every single city. So it's...
Yeah, and also... teleporting to Yanil negates the need for a watchtower teleport. Taverly is not useful because you could get there easily through a game's necklace to the game's room. Remington is not useful because there's nothing of value there that you might need that often unless you need the crafting guild. But then again, it's a short walk from the Port Sarum Lodestone.
Or Falador, just closer to the tunnel.
Yeah, or that. Brimhaven's not really useful in my view because the charter boats, and once again, you're right close to Port Sarum, and Spirit Tree if you have 83 farming there, so...
And you also just teleport to Ardonye and, you know, take the boat ride over.
Yep. And also, there's not much point in the Fremenic area because there's a fairy ring now to get to Miscellanea. So back in the olden days, that's why you'd put your house there if you wanted to go to Miscellanea or other northern lands frequently. So Yanel seems to be the best one. Okay, next part.
Tech question. Do you think Google and other search engines could do more to stop online piracy, say block torrent sites from coming up? Random question, cake or pie? Here we go.
They could, in a sense, they could essentially do that, but they would be breaking the way their own search engine works to make these kind of changes. So the question would be, where does it stop, and how much are you willing to ruin the search index? Because the search index is a natural thing that's based on the links on the web. So definitely just I think that Google could remove all the URLs in there, even if they're still in the index. But I'd like them to, but I don't think they will, because that's not the kind of company they are. So, but yeah, that would be the most surefire way of doing it. Cake or pie?
Cake.
Okay, I personally don't care for. I don't care which one. It doesn't matter which one to me. They're both good.
Piss off.
That's what his phone sounds like, and that's what he does when he doesn't want to answer it.
So, no, it's a telemarketer. I don't know
throw the phone
how.
Up against the wall.
All right, Shane, give me your phone. I'll do it for you.
Okay, it's an iPhone.
All right, now Shane, pick it up, swing your arm back, and then release.
No thanks. So, gaming question: what do you think will be the best game released this year? I personally am not up on the gaming front, so do you have any ideas on this?
Best game. Well, Diablo 3 was kind of a semi letdown. I just don't care for it, and there's already a lot of problems with it anyway. But depending if they do it right, I would say that Ubisoft Assassin's Creed 3 should be good if they don't screw us up again at the end. Not the first time they've done it. So, okay. Yeah.
All right, then. Thank you, Duke Juker. Next question.
Okay, let's see. This is from Nemster. Dear Shane and Trekkie, first off, big fan of the show. I've been listening for a while, but it's my first time taking initiative and asking questions. Week. All right, I just returned to the game after a year-long absence to find that most of my closest friends have quit due to directions they think the game is headed in. Do you ever see Jagged introducing an update you dislike enough to quit the game forever? Oh, that was kind of like right before the whole Grand Exchange stuff happening. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't ready to quit over that. I don't know what the thing is, but most of the updates that come out that I don't like, I find that just being able to talk about them and say why they frustrate me helps put them behind, and I don't see myself quitting just because of a single update, because there's lots of other things in the game that are worthwhile.
Let's see. I did quit a while back right during that period, but it wasn't because of the update. It was more of I just was not having fun with the game anymore, so I decided to stop playing for a while. And now that I came back,
what you said a few months back is that you quit because you're not feeling well, so there's no point to play it. But when you come back, it's like you're refreshed.
Because you have like, oh hey, a bunch of new updates. Oh, I need to do all this stuff now and learn all this. All right, let's see
what
we got.
Yep, it's like a new game, kind of. So, I don't know what they'd have to introduce to make me quit completely.
I think free trade restrictions again?
No. I think it'd have to be something that would be morally wrong. Or letting the bots get to a point where they just are not manageable anymore.
They're barely managing them now.
I know, but I mean, making it, like, let's say they were worse than they were last year. That's what it would be for me. Number two.
Have you seen The Avengers? If so, what are your thoughts on it? Do you think it stands between? Where do you think it stands among the superhero movies of the last couple of decades? And also, how long do you think Marvel can maintain the level of success in films they're currently experiencing? Thanks, Nemster. I don't think you saw it, Shane, did you?
No, I did not. So you could talk about this.
I saw it. It was nice. You know, it had some corny comedy here and there, nice action scenes. But near the end, the little interaction between the Hulk and Thor, I thought was just plain stupid. There was really no point to do that, do what they did. But that's just me. Movie as a whole, I thought it was good. You know, worthy of a nomination. Let's see, best. There hasn't been any really good superhero movies lately, except for, you know, the Dark Knight series, which hopefully this summer it shall be totally awesome. But I don't like Catwoman that much right now. But we'll see how she acts. And how long you think Marvel can maintain their level of success? That will depend on how fast they release the next movie. If they release the next movie within the next year, I think it would be pretty bad. But if they wait a while and, you know, when it starts dying off, they introduce it again, yeah, it could be good.
Yeah, I think you're right on that, because superhero movies based on comic books have always been around, and there's always going to be a following for them. So I think even if the one franchise does slow down a bit, they can put it to bed for a bit and come back to a different one, you know?
Mm-hmm. Basically, you know, pick good people, pick a decent director and all that, and you'll get it done. But, you know, not all of us care for big explosions all the time. So, you know, a little story of why you're fighting instead of fighting aliens from outer space instead of "you suck my battleship" makes a pretty compelling reason to go watch.
Yep.
And if you don't get that reference, Shane, it's that semi-new battleship movie that came out, which totally flopped.
Yeah.
But when I saw Rihanna in the movie, I said, "Oh, movie is done." And I was right. It died. She can't act. So, yeah. So, Shane, you said the last one. I'm tired.
Thank you, Deepster. It's not the last one, by the way. But actually, based on time, we'll just go for these last two here. Question from Johnny Great. I really need you to take this one.
Hello, Shane and Tricky. This is a question from my cousin. I'm not even going to try and say that name because it's all full of letters and numbers. Johnny Great, my question this week is, Shane, did you ever consider going into the military? Tricky, did you? I'm currently 19. I've enlisted in the U.S. Navy. They invited for me to go to the Naval Academy, so I am pretty excited. From M4CIS, getting 99 rune crafting. Mac getting 99 rune crafting worth it. I am currently 81, have been rune crafting rune span for a little while since level 1. What are your levels? Are you going for level 99? Thank you, you guys, for a wonderful show. Keep up the amazing work.
That's great. No, I never considered anything like that. Did you?
I did, but then I thought to myself, you know, I'm probably going to get booted out from my gut anyway. So, okay. And, you know, I'm not completely in shape, but then, you know, then again, I'm not considered, like, morbidly obese. I still go out, eat my vegetables and all that stuff. Let's see. And you want to get 99 runecrafting? Is it worth it? Why not? I mean, once you get to one level, you want to get the next one and then the next one. So might as well just stay there for a while anyway.
Yes, that's entirely true. 99 runecrafting is a good 99 to have, I think. It makes sense because there's fletching and there's smithing, so why not get the ability to make runes yourself, right? You want to be completely independent. So I say sure, go for it. I'm level 88, and I'm not going for 99. I'm probably just going for 90. I said I'd just go for 88, but, you know, with RuneSpan, I figured, go for 90.
See? I told you. Right now, I stopped for right now because I want to try and get my Dungeoneering up. Let's see. Yeah, trying to get Dungeoneering up, so I haven't been RuneSpanning as much. And if you read my article, you'll know some of the things why I like it and don't like about it, and you can have fun with it.
That's at informer.rsvmb.com.
Yay. You know, subliminal messaging.
Yes. So, yeah, by all means, go for 99 runecrafting, and I am currently level 88.
And, you know, why would you regret it, you know?
Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, I just don't want to get away all the skills that, like, I want to keep some skills at lower levels so that I have something to work on, you know? So it's like, yeah, that kind of thing. But anyways, thank you both of you for your questions. Oh, dear. Next question from 300 Henry, your Trekkian slave. What is your favorite scene in Star Wars? And also, have you read or watched The Lord of the Rings? And if so, was it your favorite all-time movie? Your minion 300 Henry.
Okay. I believe a minion is lower than a slave. So Shane, I think you have the right to completely beat him or whip him.
Yeah, so you're the master of all of us. And I've never watched any Star Wars. And just to clarify something, a few weeks back,
here we go again.
From Marking, where he was talking about Star Wars, and apparently in the show, I said, Marking might not know this, but I don't like Star Trek. Just to clarify that, what I meant is, Marking might not know this, but I don't like Star Wars.
Oh, I heard that, Shane, but I
didn't
want to say
it. I needed to clarify that.
Shane, you're missing out. It's basically Enterprise times two.
Like I said, if we get Mike to play Star Trek online, I'll watch Star Wars.
And let's see. What was my favorite scene in Star Wars? The clone scene was always good. See the little action thing going on. Have you ever read or watched the Lord of the Rings? I did both. I read it in high school, and I saw all of it. My favorite one was The Hobbit, because it kind of gave a little backstory to the whole Shire and all that stuff, and Bilbo Baggins. I'm hoping the movie will be good. Don't know when that's coming out, but hopefully it'll be good. I think The Two Towers was my favorite one, because the whole battle scene near the end was all well choreographed.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've not read any of the Lord of the Rings stuff, but I think I saw one or two of the movies. I don't remember which ones, because this was like probably about
a decade ago.
Years ago by now. Yeah,
a decade, so. More or less. But you know, if you do want to try and get into it, I would suggest you read The Silmarillion. It's kind of like the prequel of the prequel of the whole story itself. And
so it's a prequel of a prequel of a story.
Yeah, it's basically how the whole thing got started. It's like a big gigantic history book. Read the last two or three chapters, because it goes into how the Nazguls were created and why we have so many rings of power and all that. So that will really set you up for why the whole War of the Ring started.
Okay.
Other than that, the other chapters in the book are dead boring.
All right.
Yay! All right. Now we switch to
tech news.
Woohoo!
So we got some more Windows 8 news coming out as we get closer to this. Microsoft is really pushing the whole Metro thing. Microsoft does include a free development kit that you can get. It's called Visual Studio Express. But in the past, it lets you work with all the different languages and whatnot. And the Visual Studio Express for Windows 8 is only going to let developers create Metro applications. If you want to create any other kind of applications, you will need to fork over $500 for a Visual Studio 11 Professional.
You're milking the cow again, I see.
And, you know, this is just horrible. I mean, This is not the way you attract developers to what's supposed to be your new platform. You want people to embrace Windows 8. You need to open the entire thing up for free. I mean, you can develop for Linux for free. You can develop for OS X for free. Microsoft, this is the wrong way of doing this. It's just horrible. Like, you will need the professional version if you want to write desktop applications, though. But third-party kits will also work. So, I mean, this is just not good for Microsoft. I mean, this should not be the way this happens. And for those of you guys who aren't developers out there, you do need the developer kit when you work with an operating system, because it provides lots of little tools and documentation for all of the APIs in that operating system. So it's kind of hard to write decent Windows applications without using an API. So just thought I'd put that out there. But, I mean, if I was in the position I am, where I do a bit of casual OS X developing, I would not be interested in developing for Windows 8 because of this. So, I mean, it's just a bad move by Microsoft, and I hope that something better will come of this, but I'm not optimistic right now.
Pirate it.
No, I mean, this is, like, you can't pirate something like this, and it doesn't make sense to, because you need it in order to build these applications and ship them out and have essentially like a little stamp saying that this will work with Windows 8. Anyways, I just thought I'd throw that out there because it's rather annoying to me as a little developer. All right. Next up, this is what we all knew from the beginning. The US and Israel created Stuxnet and lost control of it.
Yeah.
So,
I'll let you go over it because you know more than
okay.
me.
Okay. Yeah, Stuxnet was essentially the little worm that invaded Iranian nuclear facilities and threw their centrifuges off, derailing their nuclear program. So, the code was only supposed to work within the facility, and it wasn't supposed to escape. So, this was confirmed by the New York Times that this was indeed developed by the U.S. and Israel. It was started under the Bush years, and Obama continued it.
Mm-hmm. We all kind of figured it out. Well, if you looked at the virus itself on the map of the world, you kind of notice that, hey, it's only targeting mostly Middle East countries. That usually gives you a big sign that something's up.
Yeah, that's true. They even went in to say that the U.S. and Israel would have to rely on engineers, maintenance workers, and others, both spies and unwilling accomplices with physical access to the plant. This was our holy grail, one of the architects of the plant said. It turns out there is always an idiot around who doesn't think much about the thumb drive in their hand. So that's how they got in. And it says, when Obama came to the office, he continued the program called Olympic Games, which unpredictably disabled bits of the NADEN's plant. Even as it's told controllers, everything was normal. But in 2010, Stuxnet escaped the plant.
So, yeah. Shane, actually, really quick, does this come as a surprise to you that we try to plant a virus into Iran?
No, but it was about to happen eventually.
Dude, it's Skynet. It's becoming self-aware.
No, we're not quite at that stage yet. You need lots of computers to do that, and a decently smart program behind it. So, I don't think that's something to worry about in the near future. But how does it feel to be the first perpetrators as an American, your government, as a cyber warfare attack?
We probably did this for decades anyway, so it's really no surprise. I bet you some of them worked for Anonymous, because that's probably where they got the hackers from anyway.
I don't know about that.
It's like, let's grab the teenage boys. They're not doing anything. We'll arrest them and tell them to work for us, and we'll pay them pennies on the dollar. You either work or go to prison.
It's interesting this came out on a Friday because, well, there's really not much time to have kind of reaction to this, but we'll see what happens next week when everyone finds out that the U.S. was actually behind this. So, anyways, moving on to something a little bit brighter now, maybe? Unless you're,
go.
You have something to add on Stuxnet?
Nah.
Okay. Google says that next week they will unveil the next dimension of maps. So they got this little picture saying the next dimension of maps, showing a globe with a pin that looks like, I think it's in San Francisco, on Wednesday, June 6th.
Is that San Francisco? Let me see. No, I think it's a little higher. Nah, it's definitely not San Francisco. Our San Francisco is a little bit older, where the little dot is, where San Francisco Bay. That's
okay.
I don't know where that is right now. I'm just gonna throw it up. I'm gonna say like higher than Oakland, but close to Sacramento.
Okay.
Let's see.
Well, it does say the event will be held in San Francisco, so maybe it is. But
The dot is
next dimension of Google Maps. What do you think they could do with it?
I'm going to just say, you know, for construction workers, kind of get a better idea of, you know, where to put their stuff. But, you know, practically, I'm sure there is. But for the average person, I just think probably it's more for fun.
Okay. Yeah, because Google Maps right now is actually pretty useful just the way it is, I think.
Invitation
only. I don't know what they'd add to it. Yeah, yeah, I don't think you're going to that event.
But you would love it if I could, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Go in there, snap some pictures, sell it on eBay.
So we'll be waiting for that next week. Hopefully it'll be something worthwhile to cover. All right, that's it for tech news. Other things right now, including Skill of the Month update, being that the May Skill of the Month has ended and Metal Maniac has won. He gained 7.6 million XP, so congratulations to you. Overall, 20,790,772 Dungeoneering XP was gained.
I only gained about 200,000. That's a lot of dungeons.
You're not on the list. You didn't sign up.
Because I was doing it for myself, not for the skill of the month.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah, so congratulations, Metal Maniac 9. Second was Alta with 4.7 million XP, almost 4.8. And third was One Stone Poem with roughly 2 million XP gained. So good job, everyone. And
yay.
The June skill of the month, which is summoning, has started. That should be interesting to see with that 250k XP boost.
Does anybody any experience gained so far?
Well, no, I can't check because it's the first day of June isn't over yet. But by the time by the time the show comes out, there will be some XP gains, so you guys can all check this out at rsbnb.com/skotm. No achievements this week, so we'll be looking out for those next week. I think we should have 3 or 4 next week based on the progress that I've been seeing so far.
This should be fun.
Yep.
All right, and now for the pick of the week.
Right. So this pick is something a bit different than normal. It's actually a Twitter account.
A Twitter account?
Yeah, it's a Twitter account called Made Up Stats. It's just like stats that are made up. So, for example, 1 in 5 tweets show signs of being rewarded before it's sent. Another one, humanitarian aid. A donation of just $15 a month could buy some clothes for Rihanna. 98.5% of consumers prefer to be described as people. Also, if everybody on Facebook unfriended 5 friends, it would wipe $2.8 billion off the company's value. You probably know who those 5 are, too.
No, not me. I can name 3, but I don't Facebook, so I don't care for it.
Say, with over 8,000 users, the Olympic torch is Greece's most successful export of 2012.
Aww.
So it's just those kind of stuff that you see, and they tweet a few times a day. So if you have a Twitter account, just follow them. It's good for a little laugh here and there. So that's just one word, made up stats.
Yeah, that's also all Twitter is good for, making stuff up.
Yeah, and also while we're on the same track, remember you can follow the RSBNB Twitter account at RSBNB staff, where we post all kinds of little things relating to RSBNB updates and whatnot. Speaking of little pieces of RSBNB news, you can find the Informer June Roundup at informer.rsbnb.com, where we'll just have a little review of everything that we've been up to this month, including articles on, well, of course, Trekkie's RuneSpan article.
Shane liked it.
While playing in RuneScan. Yeah, it was good. An article on whether or not RuneScape's becoming too easy. Why do people cheat at RS, specifically gambling? How to get ready for Skill of the Month competition. And, of course, a little bit of info on Diablo 3.
All right. And what about the June contest?
Oh, and of course, Final Frontier Gaming. I better say that for Duke, because last month's roundup, I forgot to mention his article, so I will mention his article this month. Yeah, the June contest. Is your contest ready to go for this month, since it is anniversary month and everything?
Wait, what was the contest?
I thought you had one. Okay, well, I'm sure you'll remember what it was, but I have one. Since it is show anniversary month, we started the show in 2005. So, what we're doing this month is a get on the show contest running the entire month. So, if you're at all interested in coming on the show, you can. This is a really simple one. All you need to do is send in a question through one of the usual means, the forums, the phone number or Skype or audio question, and just tack on at the end and say that you want to come on the show, and we'll put all these names into a little hat or something similar like this. And at the end of the month, well, the second last week of the month, we'll choose one of these names, and that person will come on the show for that spot.
As I just remember what this one is, and I have mine in thought. Basically, also, if you send in a question, you also will enter in my little random drawing, where, you know, depending, I basically copy all the names, and the more names you, the more questions you ask, the more higher chance of you getting a little prize. And I won't say what the prize is, but it will be decent for either your free to play or members.
RuneScape prize?
Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah,
that
so
sounds good, then.
300 Henry, Great John, Macbeth, I'm going to count you guys as one, Namster, Duke Joker, Marowska, and Ring, you've all had one entry into my little contest. Oh, shut up! All right, that's it. You're beginning to mute. Piss off. I don't know why these telemarketers keep calling me. I don't care. Oh, so, yeah. So you'll have a little reward at the end of all of this if you win. And if you're free to play, I'll get you a certain item. And if you're a member, I'll get you another certain item.
All right, that sounds good then. Okay, so what you been up to this week?
This week, I got my butt kicked by Queen Black Dragon.
For the good of the show, of course.
Lost quite a bit of stuff, mostly Stardew Brews, but did some dungeoneering runs. I'm close to getting 92. I just need to do basically one more floor and I should get it. Did all my C1s, so I basically just have the ones that are needed. And I just started getting my Dragonstones in, so I'm gonna make moolah money for a lot really quick.
Well, that's good.
And the glories continue to go up, so I'm happy with that.
Good. Anything else?
Don't do drugs.
Okay. As for me this week, I've just been primarily at RuneSmash in the time I've been playing. I got 88 RuneCrafting. So I think I'm going to go for 90 now that I think about it.
Oh, okay. 91 for double natures. And you can start assisting people.
I know, but then I have to keep going to 95.
No, you get to 93, then you can start assisting people.
No. No, I don't want to do that. But anyway, so you can see that's what I've been doing primarily this week. Also just doing little potion flasks and running around RuneScape, just testing a few things out here and there. So that's been my week so far.
Cool.
Anyways, I think we're done for this week then. So we will see you all next week, and have a good week. And remember to go check out the Diamond Jubilee celebrations.
Huzzah!
Thank you.